Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here, and I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to fill up those phone lines right now with any Bible questions or life issues you'd like to discuss. The number is 844-322-2742, so come on in and be a part of today's Basic Gospel program. Again, for the U.S. and Canada, it's toll-free, 844-322-2742. Call now because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in a series, Do You Know What You Believe? Yesterday we talked about God. What is the thoughts that come to your mind when you think about God? Because what you think about God is really your most important thought. And I talked about the fact that when I was a kid and when I had first come to know Christ, I still didn't have a full understanding of God's great love for me. So I had a picture of God based on my poor performance as a believer. I had a picture of God as being judgmental, exacting, perfection, all of those things, and I just couldn't measure up. So my Christian life was very frustrating. And well, where did that come from? Well, a faulty view of God. Well, there's truth about God, and the truth about God is that he is love. God is love. That's the good news of the gospel. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. So we have to get our ideas about God aligned to what God has revealed about himself.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to come up with this on our own. God's too big of a person for that that to happen. We're finite beings, and we are bound by sin and death. We were when we were lost. So our view of God was certainly distorted by that filter of sin and death. But when the gospel hits our hearts, we're giving a new look at God, and we can see him for who he really is, and we see that God is love, and that expression of love has been given to us in Jesus Christ. And when we look at Jesus, we see the love of God in full focus. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we see that God and Jesus are one and the same. So when we think about God, when we think about Jesus, are our minds in line with what the Word of God has declared about both of them? Do we really see them for who they are? Because that's going to determine everything else in life. Well, as we're speaking, Andrew Farley now joins us. And Andrew, as I was mentioning, we're in this series, Do You Know What You Believe? And yesterday we talked about God. Today we're talking about Jesus. And this is where a lot of Christians kind of fall short. We haven't really put in the time to see what the Word of God actually says about God himself, what it actually says about Jesus Christ. So we just try to make up stuff, or we believe stuff that other people tell us. We don't go into the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to illuminate our minds and reveal truth to our hearts.
Yeah, you look at what John says about who God is. He says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And you look at the scriptures that tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, there's no way to taste and see that in any better clarity than with Jesus and through Jesus and all that he's done for us. So, you know, I love what you're saying about how Jesus is the Father expressed. And if you've often dealt with or battled with the idea that Jesus is merciful and kind and good, but God's really ticked off at me right now, or Jesus is really good, but the Holy Spirit is really beating me up lately, it's time for all of that to come together and for us to recognize God in three persons is for us. Jesus took our sins away. God the Father remembers them no more. And even Hebrews testifies that the Holy Spirit also recognizes that our sins are gone, remembered no more, removed as far as the east is from the west. So, Bob, we can say we believe God is good, and we can say that we believe God is love, but it's only when we really dig into all that Jesus has done for us that we see God's love and God's goodness in high definition.
Yes, indeed. And that's so vitally important, because, as I said, that is going to dictate everything else in our lives. If we think God is judgmental, then our lives are going to reflect that. If we think God is love, then our lives are going to reflect that. If we believe that God is for us, not against us, that's going to change how we live day to day, how we relate to one another. So this isn't just ivory tower stuff. This isn't just stuff limited to those folks who attend seminary and do all the academic. This is reality for you and me. God has revealed himself. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know what he is like. And so he has gone to the simplest way of doing that, and he has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, great insights from both of you guys. And friends, I'd like to remind you that you have the opportunity to hear more of this this team of insight makers called Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley when we get together for the United Conference coming up in mid-October. You know, Bob and Andrew, all of a sudden, that conference is just month after next. So we are hoping that a lot of our friends will get registered and be a part of that. And you can do that at basicgospel.net/united. All the information is there, and we would love for you to register. And guys, I'd love to have your thoughts on this particular date about the conference coming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's an incredible time to get together, and it's been so long since we've done an event like this. If you've been tuning into Basic Gospel for any amount of time, this is a unique thing. It's been quite a while since we've been united because of the tragedy around the world and things that have happened to prevent us. But not only for that reason, but just because, you know, Hebrews says don't forsake the gathering together. And I think this is a great way to do that, to encourage each other and celebrate the finished work of Christ, and two voices coming together, two ministries coming together. Bob, we have the same mission, the same focus, the same celebration on our hearts. And this is a way to get together and celebrate our union with Jesus and our union with each other.
Absolutely. And I just hope many people will take advantage of this. I know we already have folks signed up. We are limited in space. We're not yet to that limit, but we want you to go ahead and register. Sign up, let us know that you're coming so that we can make plans, so that we can have all the materials, the appropriate number of materials. We want to see you. That's the bottom line for us. We want to see you. We want to be face-to-face. We want to be in this event, this venue together, sharing in the love of Jesus Christ. So come join us October 15th. Through the 17th.
And that, of course, you can register right now at basicgospel.net/united, and we hope you will do that. Well, 844-322-2742 is the number you can dial right now. We have plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. Again, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk to our friend David. Hi, David. Hey. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Okay. It's about forgiveness, okay? Now, the verse, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I was just wondering if there was anywhere in the Bible any hint or anything of God shedding his blood while he's in heaven with the Father, or, you know, or somewhere else. Can you guys explain that, or... You know what I mean? Because this is a powerful scripture. This is the finished work. The, you know, capital F, finished.
Yep.
You know, so can you know what you know where I'm coming from, guys?
Yes, I do. So, Yeah, David, you look at Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And then you look at what the Catholics have adopted as their belief system, and you even look at what some Protestants have adopted as their belief system, and it's almost like we're saying that we need more forgiveness daily, we need more forgiveness weekly or monthly or after every sin or after every Mass. And when we start believing that stuff, we're actually going against what Hebrews 9 says. Let me read what shows up just three verses later. It says, Christ did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priest does on earth, who entered the most holy place year after year. He said if that had been necessary, then Christ would have to die again and again ever since the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the age to take away sin by his own death as a sacrifice. So what we're seeing there is the exact opposite of what some people are teaching. Some people are teaching you get forgiven each week, you get forgiven each month, you get forgiven each Mass, or maybe you get forgiven each confession, sin after sin, a little bit on Monday, a little bit more cleansing on Tuesday. Well, that's not biblical forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness comes by blood and by blood alone. And the point that Hebrews 9 is making is just crystal clear. Here it is, that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And Jesus shed his blood once, and it worked the first time, and there's no repeat needed, and he's not up in heaven dying over and over. So if he ain't up there dying, then you're not down here getting more forgiven. And that's the logic of Hebrews 9. So it is a finished work. We're not going to find any passage of Scripture that tells us that Jesus needs to do anything else about our sins. He died once. It was perfect. It is finished. And now we can celebrate, David.
Wow, that's super, man. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.
You're welcome, David. Okay. Thanks for your call, and what a great question.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. 800-844-322-2742 is the number to call. We want you to be a part of the broadcast, as David was, and you can do that right now, 844-322-2742. And in the meantime, guys, a call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Oh, hi, Bob. This is Jerry Green. I was wondering, do you guys think we're in the Great Tribulation? I do. Also, I was wondering, do you believe in the rapture? I hope so. I hope it's coming. Anyway, thank you. Bye-bye.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, so great questions. Are we in the tribulation? He thinks we are. Is there any biblical indication that would be true?
Well, you know, obviously we're seeing things get worse and worse. Anybody that tells you the world is getting better, I don't think they know what they're talking about here. I don't try to chart and graph and time things out, but I certainly do look at the wars and the divisions and the factions and the hate and the disunity around the world, and even the natural disasters and things like that. It seems like we're seeing more and more trouble, not less trouble. And that would go hand in hand, Bob, with a fallen world. So I don't know that we need to try to time it all or be able to have specific answers with numbers attached. But, yeah, we here at Basic Gospel, we do believe that we live in a fallen world, that things are getting worse. There's going to be more and more tribulation as the end gets nearer. And as far as a rapture or a rescue, a physical return of Christ, absolutely. Whether you take Revelation to mean this, that, or the other, there's no getting around what 1 Thessalonians says about us meeting the Lord in the air and those who are still alive on the earth gathering together with him. And so, Bob, it seems to me it's crystal clear that, number one, things are getting worse around here. There's going to be more and more tribulation. And then secondly, what we can look forward to is the imminent return of Jesus. And I know we're in a hurry for that. We have to remember a day is like a thousand years to God, and it's His timing, and He has all that figured out. It'll come like a thief in the night, but my assurance and my comfort in that is that He's coming, and there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, if He's fulfilled every other promise that He's made, He's going to fulfill that one as well. We can count on it because the very character of God, and that gets back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour, what is God like? Well, when we look at the Word of God, we see that God is faithful. He is always faithful, which means He is going to deliver on His promise. So if He said Jesus is coming back, and if Jesus said He's coming back, guess what? He's coming back. And if Jesus said He's coming back to get us, guess why He's coming back? To get us so that we can be with Him forever. That is our great hope. That is the hope that was held out for us in the gospel. That's the hope that anchors us here and now. That's the hope that fuels us in our day-to-day lives. So yeah. we can look forward. We don't have to we don't have to get all fearful about the future. We know what our future is in Christ. And the other thing, Andrew, which I think this is so important for us to think about and to consider, it's like, why isn't the Lord coming back sooner? Why hasn't He already come to get us? And oftentimes we think about the rapture, and boy, we want it to happen yesterday. Because we're kind of tired of this place. We're tired of the rat race. We're tired of all of that. Right. And I think what God does, you know, when you open up the Word of God, you see that His patience means salvation. There's a lot of people that need to be saved. There's a lot of people that God wants to save by grace through faith in Jesus. And they're waiting to hear the message. They're waiting to hear the good news. They're waiting to hear the fact that Jesus died for their sins, that they don't have to live in guilt and shame anymore. They don't have to experience this emptiness. There is new life that they can receive in Jesus. So we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but what we do know is that He's at work through His Spirit bringing life to people all over this planet, and we get the chance to participate in it. Yes. And what we also know is that there are a lot of believers that are just bound up by the religious lies that they're holding on to, and we have a chance in sharing the gospel to bring liberty, to bring freedom to their soul. So if the Lord comes back tomorrow, praise the Lord. If He waits a thousand years, praise the Lord as well. Why? Because we have this great opportunity to be a part of His rescue mission here on planet Earth, seeing people be made alive together with Jesus, seeing people being set free by the truth of the gospel. That's good news.
Yes. 2 Peter 3:9, guys, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And that really speaks to what you were saying, Bob. You know, we get impatient, but God is perfectly patient, and He's got a reason for it. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And then, you know, what we're talking about here really makes me think of Hebrews 9, verse 28. It says, "Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly awaiting Him." And that kind of brings David's question back into this, because we've got the finished work of Christ. He was sacrificed once to take away your sins. And then it brings in our next caller's question, because Christ is coming back, but it's not to bear sin. It's only to bring salvation. So we can be really excited about it. Even if we don't know the timing, we can be thrilled, because He's coming back for one reason, and that's to bring us salvation.
Absolutely. Well, as we await His glorious appearing, we still have life to live here on this earth. And I had a question from Lula from Seattle. As Gentiles, have we ever been under the law of Moses?
Well, the answer to that is Gentiles had no law. We find that in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, Bob. It says this, "Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things that are required by the law, they are a law unto themselves, even though they don't have the law. It goes on to say the righteous requirements of the law are written on their hearts, and their conscience bears witness, and then their thoughts accuse them or defend them. So what does this mean? Well, you know, tablets of stone were only given to Israel. 613 commands, those were only given to Israel. So let me just make a side comment on this. I mean, here we are 2,000 years later debating law and grace, and 90% of us who are debating this are Gentiles, and we were never given the law to begin with. So what are we doing? For us, it's the new covenant or nothing. For us, it's God's grace or nothing. There is no mixing of law and grace if you were never invited to the law. Not to mention, you know, we've got a lot of folks talking about the moral law. As Gentiles, they're saying, well, you still need the ten. You still need to be under the moral law. And then you say, okay, quote them, would you? And you just wait. And maybe they get six or seven of them, but they can't even quote the Ten Commandments. Most of us can't. So we're arguing to be under something that we can't even quote, much less keep. And at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is our source. And knowing Jesus Christ is our goal. It's all about bearing the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the law. And yes, Gentiles were never given the law. What is it that accuses us? Well, God's righteous requirements are on the conscience. And I'm sure you've heard somebody say, my conscience is killing me. Well, that's God-given, and it drives us to our need for Jesus. So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, the answer is God's grace. The answer is the new covenant found only in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. That brings up another point. You know, there's this universal law that actually transcends the law of Moses, and that's the law of sin and death. And so we see that in the garden, don't we?
Yes.
That the soul that sins will surely die, and that's what took place with Adam and Eve. The day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually. They forfeited their spiritual life. And so every person, whether Jew and Gentile, comes into this world under that same condemnation, under the condemnation of the law of sin and death. And we see that that's what we're set free from when we receive Jesus, as Paul talks about in Romans 8, that we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus. You and I were dead spiritually. We were in need of life. And that's what the gospel does. That's what the gospel does. It brings us new life in Jesus Christ. And it's that life, it's the very life of Jesus that now rules in our hearts, isn't it?
Yes, and we are not lawless. We then have this new law, the law of the Spirit of life. So anyone that tells you that grace is dangerous, well, it's only dangerous for the enemy, because we are motivated and inspired by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He is enough.
Very quickly, guys, a question from Deborah. How would you address a church that still preaches that baptism is an act of obedience, especially to the youth?
Well, sure, it's a celebration. We're called to celebrate just like the Lord's Supper, but there's nothing magical about wine or grape juice or bread or a swimming pool. We have to see these as physical celebrations, not causing something spiritual. And it's all about being baptized into Christ. That's what saves.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it's just a pleasure to work with the two of you as you so clearly elaborate on the grace of God. And friends, we're glad that you're with us for this particular edition of Basic Gospel. And thanks for all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts. It's because of you that we're here every weekday proclaiming this grace of God in Jesus Christ. And if you're new to Basic Gospel, I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's an easy thing for you to join with us if this message is resonating with you, to join those who have been in support for months and months at Basic Gospel. You can do that by going to basicgospel.net and just clicking that big prominent donate link right there. We would love for you to partner with us, and there's a great opportunity to do that right now if you visit basicgospel.net. Also, the listener line is open around the clock for those of you who can't make it during the live broadcast. If you have questions or a Bible for a Bible passage or something about the life that you're living that's not quite adding up, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Andrew and Bob and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis-Ling. I'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will too. Bye-bye.